Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Healed Being is a program that I created that has saved relationships on the verge of collapse. It's also revealed damaged components of a relationship that are beyond repair. That can happen. This program is for those who've discovered they are the common denominator for their relationship problems and would like to heal and change so that they can have the best relationship possible. Sign up for the first four lessons for free over at healedbeing.com.
Welcome to The Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now.
Welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani, and I'm here to help you learn to deal with difficult people and tackle life's challenges without compromising who you are. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. Glad that you are here. I just returned from vacation. Just a quick personal note for anyone that has been listening a while. You might be somewhat interested in this. I used to call her my girlfriend, and now I'm calling her my fiance, and that's exciting to me. I'm very excited. We've been dating for about 8 years. Her name's Asha, and I love her very much, and we're going to get married. Don't know when, don't know how that's going to happen yet, but we were on vacation, and I decided to ask her, and it was a neat little thing that happened, and she was excited too, because 8 years. Been 8 years. We both had strained marriages. I was the problem in my last marriage, and in her last marriage, he was the problem. And, you know, we all bring our own problems to the marriage, so I'm not just saying it's all my fault and it's all his fault. And I'm just putting it out there that I definitely know that I was a problem. And in fact, if you've ever listened to my Love and Abuse podcast, that's where I talk about emotionally abusive relationships. I talk about my past and who I used to be, how I used to behave. And so I've destroyed almost all my relationships in my life because of who I used to be. And so I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot because I finally decided to take responsibility. I finally decided to take responsibility for who I was showing up as. I took responsibility for my behaviors. And it's so important. I really believe that's just one of the most important key ingredients in relationships is taking responsibility and letting the other person know when you're wrong and to say something like, I was wrong about that. I'm sorry. It can change a relationship. I know people that will never admit when they're wrong. They'll never take responsibility for their own behaviors, and they'll try to pin it all on the other person. It's not my fault, it's their fault. And even when the person who doesn't take responsibility sees evidence, like clear evidence that they're wrong, they're still likely to pin it on the other person in some way. They're likely to turn it around. And I found that to be one of the major issues in many relationships, or at least many relationships that are having trouble, that one person or both are not taking responsibility for what they did or what they said. I told my girlfriend, my fiance, now I gotta get used to this, I told her that we have the most productive arguments. I tell other people this too. I tell her, you know, it's awesome how we argue. I don't like arguing. It doesn't happen often, thankfully. But there are going to be disagreements. There are going to be different perspectives. There are going to be misunderstandings. And we've had them all. And so I reflect, or have been reflecting, on our arguments. And I remember every time we argue, when somebody brings up something that the other person said or did, that the other person will say, oh, you're right, if, you know, if it's correct. So if she said, well, when you said this, and I say, no, I didn't say that. And then she'll say, no, you said specifically this, and then we did this. And then I'll go, oh, you're right, I did say that. I shouldn't have said that. Or I didn't mean that, and it came out that way, and I'm sorry. And as soon as one of us says, I'm sorry, or, oh, you're right, the argument kind of fizzles. I mean, that is so magical, for an argument to fizzle because somebody takes responsibility, or somebody admits that they're wrong, which is the same thing, taking responsibility. Someone apologizes. Someone says, oh, you're right. What a way to take all the negative energy out of a moment. Oh my God, you're right. I did say that. I am so sorry. Or you said something you didn't mean, like it came out wrong. It was a misunderstanding. Like, I remember the very beginning of my relationship with my fiance. She said she was upset about something. She was upset about a money issue. I wasn't paying in at first. It was an agreement that I believed we had. It was an agreement that, like, okay, I'd move in for a little while and straighten out my business stuff and she'd be okay. And so when she was telling me about the money challenges she was having, it didn't even occur to me, and I think this is like a male thing, it didn't even occur to me that I should step up and go, oh, I hear that you're having money challenges, let me help. It didn't occur to me because we had an agreement and I didn't even think about it. Once we agreed, like, okay, you're not going to pay for a while until you get your business up and going or whatever. Once we had that agreement, my mind was off to other things. So when she had trouble or issues with money, it didn't occur to me to say, I hear what you're saying. Let's work this out. You know, I'm much more conscious of that kind of stuff now. But back then, it was a challenge for me. Well, it really wasn't a challenge at all because I wasn't thinking about it. It was a difficulty for the relationship because I was under the impression that if she needed help, she would ask for it. And so I still had good, honest, noble intentions, but she believed that just by talking about it, that I would just offer my help. But my belief was that we had talked about it and we had made an agreement and it made sense and she was comfortable with it and I was comfortable with it. And that if that were to change, that's fine as long as she said, hey, this needs to change. But in my male mind, and I'm not making fun of every male here, but a lot of men tend to do this, unless we're asked directly or told directly that something needs to change, some of us can be oblivious. That's where I was. I was oblivious. So she was having money challenges and I was oblivious. Oh, that's really sad. And I felt bad for her and I was supporting her, you know, emotionally. And at the same time, I thought if she really needed help, she would ask, but she didn't. And she got upset with me and her upset didn't come out. It wasn't expressed. And I wondered why she was so standoffish around me, not looking at me and really distant. And I finally asked, what's going on? You're so distant. I can't tell where you are. I don't even feel like I'm living with somebody here. I feel ignored or neglected. I forget what I said exactly. And she said, nothing's wrong. And I said, something is clearly wrong. Something is wrong. You don't look at me and you've been emotionally disconnected. We're not connecting. What's going on? And she finally said, you know, I'm having trouble with money and I need help. And I said, I'm not laughing at her. I'm laughing at the situation because who I was back then, I said, why didn't you ask? Of course I'll help. I don't want to see you suffer. I don't want this to happen. Of course I'll help you. I'll get a second job. I'll get a third job. I'll do whatever it takes because I support your happiness. I didn't use those words, but in my mind, that's what I want to do to my, or for my girlfriend at the time. I want to support her happiness. My partner is important. She is my priority. So what I'm going to do everything I can to support her and support her path and support her happiness because, and this is my new motto, happy wife, happy life. That's what I want. I want a happy life. And in order to do that, I got to make sure my partner's happy. That's important. So I've made that my priority. What is the thing about arguments? We had an argument about that. It was sort of an argument. But she said, you know, I really expected you to help out. And I said, I don't understand. I thought we had this agreement. And this is many years ago. And she said, well, yes, but now I'm having trouble. And I said, well, why didn't you tell me? And she said, I have been telling you. I have been telling you. I've been talking about it for a month now, or even longer. I've been telling you how much financial trouble I'm having. And I said, but I didn't understand, or I don't understand. I thought you were okay, and if you weren't okay, you would just tell me you weren't okay. She says, I have been telling you. I said, I don't understand. She goes, if you don't understand, then whatever. She called me an idiot or something. And so I don't remember how that particular conversation ended, but she went and talked with her friend. And her friend said, well, did you ask him? Did you ask him for money? And I think she told her friend, no, I shouldn't have to. I shouldn't have to ask him for money. He should hear it in my voice. He should see it in my face. He should see the fear in my face that I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. He should be able to figure all this out. And her friend said, no, you need to ask. You need to ask. And maybe she understood men a little bit better. I don't know. Or at least this component of men. And again, I'm not putting down all men. I'm kind of standing up as my own man here, taking responsibility for it. Not saying that this is a man problem and trying to get away from this. I'm definitely responsible for this. But she said, you should ask him directly. And again, Asha said, no, I shouldn't have to ask him directly. I should be able to convey this, express this in my emotional state and tell him I'm having these fears and I'm worried. And he should be able to say, oh, I understand what you're saying and now I know what to do. That's how she understood me. She understood that if she were to convey something or express something, that I would automatically process this, organize those thoughts in my mind, and figure out what to do next. And that wasn't me. I'm more direct. I like to ask things directly. And so I expect other people to ask me directly. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't oblivious. That doesn't mean that I really wasn't being dense at that time, because I was. At that time, I was being dense. I didn't figure it out. I should have figured it out. And I know a lot differently now. I know a lot better now. I'm more understanding and conscientious of how she and others communicate, because it has been a factor in my life in the past. And I had to reflect on that and figure out why I didn't step up when I should have. Like in my past, like I said, I was emotionally abusive. I was hurtful in different ways. I guilted my partners. I gave them the silent treatment, withdrawing love, and made them feel hurt. I think about that now, and it kills me. I feel so terrible for who I was back then and how I showed up. But back then, I also remember, you know, in hindsight, I remember my partners being sad, feeling like they were alone, them feeling neglected by me. And I think, well, how come I couldn't look at their face and ask myself, why would you do this to this person? How come I couldn't reflect on that back then? Back then, I was a different person. I wanted what I wanted regardless of how they felt about it. and that hurt them. I didn't think in terms of happy wife, happy life. I thought in terms of, hey, they're not doing what I want them to do. That makes me unhappy, so my happiness is more important than theirs. Therefore, they need to comply. I need to control their emotional state. That's what I tried to do many times. And that always caused distance. Never caused closer connections. Never caused a strengthening of the bond. It always caused distance. Whenever you're around someone and you aren't supporting what makes them happy and aren't supporting them feeling good about themselves, about their lives, about their job, about anything in their life that they feel is important. Some may not like their jobs, and that's a different story. But whatever you can do to support the person is going to bring more emotional connection. And whatever you do that makes them feel bad or hurt or guilty or sad is going to make them feel less connected to you and eventually grow so distant that there will be no relationship anymore. It'll just grow too distant and their heart will eventually close. So I was like that in all my relationships. I thought it was better to control their emotional state so that they would make up for my fear of abandonment and fear of rejection. And that only pushed them away. So anyway, I was telling you that this whole thing started with our productive arguments. Our arguments became so productive. In fact, it was right after that incident or another incident afterward where she didn't ask me something directly. And I said, you need to tell me or ask me directly. You need to just point at what you want and tell me that's what I want. Because once I know it, I'm going to do it forever. As long as you want me to do that, that's what I'm going to do. It doesn't mean I'm not going to figure stuff out, because the longer you're together, the more you figure out, the more you realize what makes them happy, how to support them when they need support. I had to learn that. This is something I had to learn in the last 15 to 17 years, how to support someone in a healthy way, how to support their happiness so that they're happy in their own life and they're happy to be with the person that supports and facilitates that happiness. That is a beautiful connection. That is a beautiful relationship. Because when you're with somebody who supports your path, your happiness, you want to be around that person more, typically. And so when she was expressing things and not asking me directly, and I finally said, you need to ask me directly, because I'd learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about relationships by that point. I just wasn't applying some of the stuff to my own relationships, but I knew other things that I know could help our relationship. And one of those things was, it's better to be direct with me. I would rather hear you say, I hate you and I don't want to be with you, than to ignore and neglect me for the entirety of our time together. I know that sounds, who would want to go through that? I wouldn't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. But I would rather hear that than get all the ambiguous clues. Don't give me the ambiguity. I don't like that. I mean, I'm just kind of talking out loud now, but this is the conversation that we had. Don't be ambiguous. Just be direct. Tell me. Tell me what you want. Tell me what you need. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me what I said that hurt you so that I don't do that again. Or I can fulfill your needs because I don't know what they are, or I'm just oblivious or dense again. Tell me. And then once you tell me, I'm going to make sure I do it over and over again. I'm going to make sure I'm on that path because my priority is you. You are my priority. I want to see you happy. You make me happy. And when you're happy, that makes me happy. So I'm so happy in a relationship with you. And it's all about feeling good with the person you're with and them feeling good with you. If you can make that happen, you can connect at a deeper level. It builds emotional intimacy. It builds connection. It builds bond. It could be any relationship, family, friend, romantic, whatever. And then even when you have an argument, the baseline, the foundation is a deep emotional connection, or at least trust. It's easier to trust someone who's direct. Even though you may not like what they have to say, you can trust what they have to say because they're direct. And I'm not talking about being cold and heartless. I'm talking about if you want somebody to help you out. You know, you want your partner or whoever to help you out. Hey, can you help me out? If you want your partner or whoever to stop saying a hurtful thing, tell them when you say that, it hurts me. When you say those words, they hurt. When you try to make me feel jealous and flirt with other people, that hurts. It hurts me. And then you'll get their response, which you may or may not like. Their response might be, well, too bad, you're sensitive, you know, that's not my fault. That could be it. And that's an insensitive thing to say. But that could be their response, and it tells you who you're dealing with. Or it could be, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I don't want to see you hurt. I don't want to make you feel that way. Let's talk about this. And you'll have a good conversation, hopefully, because that person's open. They're willing to discuss things that are conducive to a happy relationship. They're willing to be vulnerable. They're willing to maybe take a step back and think that maybe their actions might not be the best. Maybe their actions are putting you in the back seat instead of the front seat, making you less of a priority and something else or someone else more of a priority. And that would be a great conversation to have. That's the kind of stuff that makes a productive argument. So my girlfriend has, the first two times that we had unproductive arguments, it was usually because there was an indirect thing going on. And I don't want to point the finger and say she's the only one. I mean, I've caused a lot of issues in my life. I've caused issues in this relationship, but nothing as bad as I used to be. Just usually misunderstandings. I usually have her interest in mind, her best interest. And sometimes I have an old program running that I didn't even realize was there. And I have to reflect on it and figure that out, process it, and never do it again, because that is an old bad program that I don't want running. So I have to work on it, heal from it, and move on. I mean, I've done a pretty good job so far, in my own opinion. And I think she believes that too. So after our first couple arguments with the indirectness and telling her, let's just be direct. I would rather have you scream in my face and saying, you're a jerk, you did this, and I'm mad at you, than to shut me out. Again, that's something I used to do to my partners. I think it's karma. I think it's coming back to bite me. And I deserve it. I deserve that because of what I mean, this is my belief. I deserve the shutting out. I deserve the neglect because of what happened to me in my past. But I'm not going to stand for it continually in the relationship. I realize, oh, this is what happens. This is how it feels. This is what I needed. This is what I needed to understand, just how bad it was for my previous partners, so that I don't do that to my current partner and hopefully only partner for the rest of my life. I don't want to do that anymore because now I have firsthand experience of what that feels like. And I don't like it. And so now I'm direct. I don't want you to do that. It hurts me when you do that. It feels neglectful. But Paul, you deserve it. You did somebody else. No doubt. I deserve it. And now I don't want it to continue in our relationship. Because if you're going to stay with me, which I hope you do, talking about my fiance, if you're going to stay with me, then let's make this as good as possible. Let's make this a great relationship. Let's make this a loving, supportive, kind, and caring, respectful relationship. And let's not play any games. I didn't really tell her this directly. I'm just thinking this in my head. I don't really want that in my life. I don't want games in my life. I need more directness. And again, it's not cold and heartless. I hope she doesn't come up to me and say, you're really ugly with that mole on your cheek. I don't want it to be that direct, but hopefully, you know, people understand that. You know, if you're going to be direct, it doesn't mean you have to be cold and heartless. And knowing that you might say something that would hurt somebody's feelings, you probably should put some softener on there. like you softened the statement. If she noticed a mole that she doesn't like, she might say, hey, you might want to get that mole checked. That would be a nice softener. But I could also think, is she being judgmental about the moles on my body and my face? I could think that. But what happens is when you are direct with somebody, over a period of time, you are continually direct, but you're also loving and caring and supportive. They know what to expect from you, and they know that you're not saying anything that's mean-spirited or judgmental. They know that what you're doing or what they're doing is in your best interest. What they're saying is in your best interest because they've been honest, because they've been caring, because they want to see you happy. And so when you take out the ambiguity and be more direct, when you are also being kind and caring and generous and supportive and respectful, when all of those qualities exist, you have the most authentic relationship possible. You have true, authentic connection, truly authentic communication, and that just continues to allow the relationship to blossom and the bond to keep its strength or even strengthen more. Returning to the productive argument comment I made, I love our arguments, even though I hate arguing. I love that we are able to express ourselves fully and not beat around the bush. I love knowing that what comes out of her mouth isn't going to be some way to mask her anger or her disappointment in me. I know that what she says is going to be something that is more direct to the subject matter. It is more direct to who I am and what I've done, if I did something, or what I've said, or just a disagreement or a misunderstanding. I know it's going to be more direct. It's not going to be something I'm going to have to figure out, because I can be dense. I can be oblivious, apparently. Sometimes I can really mess things up because I don't have all the data in my mind, and the way I process things is different than the way she processes things. So we think differently. All humans think differently, even though we have very similar ways of thinking. And you might meet someone that thinks completely opposite of you and wonder what the hell their problem is. Why can't you get this through your thick head? I think my fiance still says that to me. We're on the road and she says, take the next right, or take the following right, or take a right at the light. And then a light comes up and I'm starting to take a right. And she goes, no, not that right. The next right, the one at the light. And I say, well, this has a light too. Yeah, but this isn't a major intersection. Oh, I didn't know you meant a major intersection. Well, what do you think I meant? I thought you meant the next light. Oh, and so it can be a misunderstanding. And it goes away fast because we're direct. We're direct. And again, not cold and heartless direct. Just a courteous direct. Like, I told you the next light. And of course, when things are heated, it can happen. And this is where an argument can form. Or it can be extinguished really fast by saying, oh, sorry about that. You're right. And then, if they are right and you're willing to take responsibility for not being right. But we might have those disagreements. You know, you said next right at the light. I assumed you meant this next light. And she said, no, I meant the next major intersection. And then I could continue an argument and say, well, then you should say the next intersection. I could do that. And I could try to make her feel bad and wrong. But I could also say, oh, you meant that. Sorry. Why didn't you defend yourself, Paul? Why didn't you just say, well, if you mean the next intersection, let's, tell me the next intersection. And sometimes I will. Sometimes I'll say that. But sometimes I want to extinguish any type of negativity that's coming up. And I'm not doing it in a people-pleasing way or a codependent way. I'm doing it in a way that shows her that she's more important than some stupid light argument. Her happiness, our connection, our intimacy is more important than who's right about the light, who's right about the right, who's right about anything. It doesn't matter because I love her. I want to keep her in my life. I'm going to go to bed with her tonight. I'm going to stay with her all day tomorrow. I'm going to be around her a lot in the next 50 years or however long we last. I'm going to be around her all the time. So why wouldn't I want to see her happy? Why wouldn't I want to see her smile? Knowing that her smile, her happiness, makes me feel good inside. I want to feel that. I don't want to walk around constantly triggered by something. That's the old me. I want to have a life of future with somebody that I know if something comes up, we'll talk about it. We won't sweep it under the rug. No matter how hard it is, I have a rule in my life that we talk about things even at the risk of the relationship. I have made that a rule in my life that, I mean, I told her to. I said, we need to talk about things even if it risks our relationship. Even if it means that in your mind you think this is going to cause a breakup. I want to talk about it. I want to get it out in the open. I want to put it on the table. Because vulnerability and transparency is how we connect at a deeper level. This is how we grow the deepest trust for each other. Is by saying the things that are hard. Sharing our deep, scary truths sometimes. And when you have love for another person and you tell them a truth, you express it, they may get angry at you. They may not want to be with you anymore. They may not want to communicate with you anymore. They may disappear. But when you do it because you care about them and you want them to be happy, and that is your priority, and you don't want to lie to them, you don't want to deceive them, this is something that you do for somebody you care about. You are honest. I'm not saying there aren't exceptions. There are exceptions. I know people are listening right now thinking, yeah, but if I say that, everything else is great. But if I say that one thing, it's going to ruin everything. It could. It could. This is one of those pick your battles wisely type of things. So this is something that you have to pick and choose, I guess, in your own life. What's important? I mean, I can think of a situation where you have two friends and they're in a relationship, and one of them's cheating. Eesh, what do? Do you tell that friend? Do you talk to the one that's cheating and say, look, you got to fess up? And if they don't fess up, do you tell your other friend? Because you know telling your other friend's going to cause a big rift in the relationship. I mean, what battle do you pick? It's very difficult. I know what I'd do. I'd say, you fess up or I'm going to. That's me. You may not want to do that, but I'm willing to risk their relationship, even though it's their issue, but that's my friend. So I'm butting in. But I believe that some issues are so important and should be talked about as soon as possible, because things will only get worse. Let alone, I have a loyalty to both friends to be honest with them. So why would I choose one loyalty over another? You know, it's hairy stuff, very gray area sometimes. And I know that mentioning something could cause a huge rift. It could cause the relationship to break down. It could cause a big problem. And I know that it was because I said something that scenario unfolded, but it wasn't my fault. I was just taking responsibility. It wasn't my fault. The fault goes on the person who's betraying, who's cheating. That's their issue. That's their fault. They need to change their ways and fess up and say, hey, look, I did this to you. At the risk of the relationship failing and the risk of you leaving me, I'm being honest with you now. Now, you know, cheating is a very difficult subject, and a lot of people have experienced it. Maybe you've experienced it. So it would be discussed at a different level than this. I'm talking very matter of fact. You know, take this knowledge and bring it into a relationship, bring it into an emotional state, and now you have a completely different way of communicating. So that's how I see, or at least how I operate in a relationship today, is that I am honest, I'm transparent, and I am forthcoming and expressive, expressing things that may be scary, even at the risk of the relationship. And I'm here to say that every single time I've been honest and worried that the relationship was going to end, it has always gotten stronger. may not be the result every time. Maybe not for you. Maybe it will be. I don't know. But in my life, when I've tried this, every single time I've been honest at the risk of the relationship ending, it has gotten stronger. And more trust was gained. And when you have a relationship with trust and honesty, and you're able to express things, even though they may be scary things to express, what I call hard truths, then you have the components of a fantastic, long-lasting, strong relationship that will last indefinitely. And that's the ingredients of a strong, long-lasting relationship, is that it's really vulnerable to do that, because you're doing it at the expense of your own happiness sometimes. I mean, this is what happens, is that we want to share something that we know could cost the relationship, but we know that if we share that and they leave, our own happiness is affected. This is why we need to work on ourselves. This is why we need to be happy in ourselves, so that if something happens and we crash hard, that we can start to rebuild ourselves from a better foundation. And if you're secure in yourself, if you know that it's better to be honest than deceptive, it's better to be expressive than repressive, if you know that if you walk in those shoes and you're more direct with people that you care about, you're going to discover that your relationships are a lot stronger. And the relationships that don't survive that, the relationships that don't survive the honest, the direct, along with the caring and the supportive and the generous, all of that has to be in play. It can't just be direct and then you're mean at other times. It has to all be a part of it. All these components have to be a part of it. If all those components are a part of it and the relationship still doesn't last, then it can't. If the relationship can't survive honesty and transparency, if it can't survive that, then it probably won't survive other things. Because you want to know that you're with somebody that wants the strongest relationship possible. That's what happens. When you're more direct, when you're more honest, you strengthen the relationship, you strengthen the trust. And if somebody feels like being direct and honest is a bad thing to do, like it'll decrease trust and decrease connection, and they want to get out of that relationship, then they may not be ready to be honest with you. They may not be ready to have that kind of relationship. And that's when you have to ask yourself, what kind of relationship do I want? And that's a big question. What kind of relationship do I want? What kind of friendship do I want? I know what kind I want. And it's really up to you what kind you want. If you don't want to be so honest and direct that it might affect the relationship, that's perfectly fine. If that's something that works for you. I'm not saying that you have to do any of this. I'm just saying that in my lifetime, I've noticed that the more honest and direct I am, even at the cost of the relationship, even if I believe the relationship's going to end, the stronger it's gotten. And it's just worked out wonderfully. And I think the reason is because people prefer the truth. Most people. Would you not prefer the truth? Unless you want to be in denial. If you want to be in denial and stay in denial, your choice. But it usually doesn't go well. It can. Like, my mom was in denial for many, many years. It was better for her not to see the truth. You know, my stepfather, abusive, alcoholic. It was better for her for 40 years not to look at the truth, even though she couldn't avoid it. It was better to pretend that it didn't exist, because she felt stuck. So denial can be one of those places that you feel safe in. I just think that it's better not to be in denial, but again, sometimes I realize you can be stuck. Anyway, I learned a lot. I learned a lot in my life about how to connect with people. And I hope what I've learned helps you. And maybe you already knew this and you're thinking, I don't really need to know all this, Paul. If you know this, then you already understand the benefits of doing it. And you also understand the pitfalls that can happen by being so honest and direct. And I've learned that when you show your true self, when you show up as your authentic self out there, the people who support you being you, the people who love you and support your happiness, they'll usually stick around. And the people who don't like what you have to say are probably not there to support your happiness or have another issue with you, and they don't stick around. And even though that might be painful, you end up with, I'm going to say this, the right people in your life. at least the supportive people, the people who really want a genuine connection with you. And the people that don't want that genuine connection, they tend to disappear, or at least fade into the background. You hear from them less often. And so I'm going to conclude the show now, and I'm going to conclude it with this email. This person wrote and said, in the past couple of years, my best friend of, looks like 15 years, tells me she's too busy to talk to me, except when she has a problem or needs advice, or when it's convenient to her. I always listen, sometimes for several hours. She hasn't asked about my life in several months. If I try to talk about a topic that's not related to her when we speak, she is short and dismissive. I told her my feelings were hurt, and if she has enough time to post on Facebook and be nice, she could find time to choose nicer words for me. She accused me of trying to take her away from time with her family and her social media, her number one priority. I told her she misunderstood what I said, but she kept insisting that this was the case. Should I try to repair this friendship? Thanks for writing that, and sorry you're going through this, but I think you already know the answer. When you have time for people and they don't have time for you, who are you dealing with? No, you could be more direct and say, look, it seems like you have time for everyone else but me. And when you call, I listen for hours and hours and you just don't want to hear my stuff. You don't want to hear what I have to say. Now, you could say that and it might feel like, boy, if I say that, that's being confrontational and I don't like confrontation and I'm just trying to be nice and I don't want to appear rude. And you might have those feelings, which is why this relationship continues, because it's quite possible from what I just read that you don't practice honoring your boundaries. It sounds like you did, you know, tell her, you did tell her that your feelings were hurt, and that is definitely a boundary. But if you have boundaries and somebody doesn't give you the time of day, you say, look, I don't want people in my life that don't want to give me the time of day. I mean, you say this to yourself. I don't want people in my life that don't give me the time of day. So think about the criteria for friendship for yourself. Do you want people in your life that you listen to, but they don't listen to you? It's a great question, because if you say no, then why is she still in your life? I know there might be some other great times or great parts of the relationship. You've had some great times, but let's talk about today. Let's talk about how she's showing up today and what she's telling you and how she makes you feel, and compare that to your criteria. Compare that to what you want in your life as a friend. And if she doesn't meet that criteria, then it might be time to move on. There's something about your connection with her that she doesn't want in her life anymore. Whether that's you, whether that's her, doesn't matter. But if she's not putting in the effort into it, into your friendship, if she's not investing her emotional energy into you, then you might have to pull back and invest your emotional energy into someone else, starting with yourself. And by doing that, you can make sure that you're comfortable inside yourself. You're secure in yourself. Because sometimes, and I'm just going to make a wild guess here, I could be completely wrong about this, but let's just say that you're not good at honoring your boundaries, speaking up, being more direct. You might have a tendency to want to be liked by others, so you will go above and beyond to show them that you're likable. And one of those ways is to continue listening and listening and listening, even though they're not doing the same in return. And that's sort of a people-pleasing habit. I used to do it a lot. And if you want to be liked by someone and you want to show them that you're a good person, people do that. Some people will do that kind of behavior. They'll be there for others, but they don't feel the reciprocation. They don't get it back. And then those other people, they kind of distance themselves from the people doing that, because there's not an authentic connection there. So I'm not sure if that's you. There were some things that you said in your message that kind of make me think that you might be doing something like that. But if I'm wrong, I apologize. But in my opinion, should you try to repair this friendship? No. You tried hard enough already. You've already done your part. I think it's good to be honest and say, look, I've tried to work this out with you, but you don't want to do it. And if you are ready to have a genuine connection, I'm here. I would love to talk about it. But since you're there and you got your priorities, I understand. I support that. And this is when you honor yourself with love for others. I support what you need to do for yourself, and I support the path you're on. And that's what a good friend does. They support the other person's path. And so that's my answer to you. I hope this helps. And I know that it's difficult, especially when you have a good friend and then suddenly they're not. Suddenly they're disappearing from your life. And sometimes we do have to practice that. The old adage, if you love somebody, set them free. And if they love you, they'll return. That's really true. You support the person they are. And if there's a connection there, if there's love, they'll return and you'll have an opportunity to repair things. I hope this helps. Thanks so much for joining me. Thanks for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I have a bunch of people to thank. I was on vacation, so this list kind of built up. So I'm going to go really fast. These are the patrons of this week. Wanda, Dilek, Victoria, Kelly, Leela, Christy, Andy, Sally, Adriana, Paige, Brian, Debbie, Harriet, Mary, Anna, Andreas, Allison, Deborah, Tammy. Tammy, you're new. Great to have you on board. I'm going to make it through this list. Thank you so much, Tammy. I appreciate your support. Wait, I recognize you, Tammy. Now I see something. I see your name. I've seen your name before. I recognize you. You bought the save system. I hope that's been helpful. Thank you, Tammy. Thanks for becoming a patron. Holly, Sally, Maria, Steven, Angel. I'm almost done. Crystal. Crystal, you donated. Crystal, you're a monthly contributor, and you donated again. You said, hey, Paul, I want to send an extra donation just because you knock it out of the ballpark with every podcast. What? Thank you so much. That is very kind, very generous. I don't know what I said, but let me know so I can say it again. Thank you so much, Crystal. I am very grateful. And to all of these patrons, Jamie, Larry, Michelle, Brad, two more, Ashley and Winnie. Again, I'm coming back from a several-week vacation and these names stacked up. So I wanted to get them all out there. Wanted to say I thank you. I'm very grateful for your contribution in the patron program. And my heart is warm. Thank you again. And if you find value in the show like these patrons did, head over to moretob.com and you have options to give back. Thank you again, patrons. And my other show I talked about, Love and Abuse, over at loveandabuse.com. That's how you deal with difficult relationships and toxic people and poisonous communication. Very effective show for any relationship you're in, and it might be helpful to you. Check it out at loveandabuse.com. And if you know you're the difficult one in the relationship and you want to change that about yourself and give yourself the best chance at saving what might be a relationship that's about to fall apart or has fallen apart, head over to healedbeing.com and you can sign up for the first four lessons for free. And it's a very powerful, very effective program. And a lot of people have gotten a lot of benefit from it. Healedbeing.com. Finally, thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And to conclude the show, another personal note for those asking, why did it take you so long to ask her to marry you? We had an agreement. This is one of those agreements that we had in the beginning. She said, you know what? Marriage wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And I said, you're right. Marriage wasn't all it's cracked up to be. So let's just stay together and continue this relationship and be committed to each other and buy a house together and just be with each other. And so that was our understanding for a long time. And then one day she said, you know, I don't think I would have a problem being married again. I said, what? Really? And I mean, I did think about it, considered it. But she said that and I thought, oh, okay then. And so that was a few years back. And then she said, you know, we could get married again. And I said, wait. Are you asking me right now? Because this is not how it's supposed to work. I'm supposed to ask you. So let's drop this subject right now. Let me prepare for this. Let me plan for this because I want to ask you in a special way. And she said, I'm not necessarily asking you. I'm just saying I'm more open to it than I used to be. I said, well, that's great. And I want that too. I really do. I think we should. I think we should consider this. And I wasn't really hesitating. I was just thinking in my head, how am I going to ask her? What am I going to do? It's a lot of stuff to process in the minute. So I finally said, okay, I'm going to ask you. Don't ask me, which is probably unfair, I know. But I really wanted to ask her. I wanted it to be something special and something memorable and not just a conversation that just sprung up out of the blue like that, and we're just sitting, you know, in the car wash or whatever. I don't even go to car washes, but it actually came, the opportunity came at the last day of our vacation. And I really wanted to ask her throughout the vacation, but the people we were staying with, one of them said, you know, you guys should get married. And I agree. We should get married. We should. But then I kept thinking, well, now I don't want to ask right now, because if I ask right now, then she'll think that I was convinced to ask her, and she'll think it wasn't my idea. And so I kind of fought with that throughout the 3 weeks that we were gone. And the person mentioned it again. Why aren't you getting married? You should be married. And I said, well, how do you know that I didn't plan on asking her to marry while we were up here? And you keep telling me that we should get married, but how do you know that I didn't plan that already? And so Asha looks at me and she goes, yeah, right. And I said, no, it's true. And then the conversation suddenly shifted and we didn't talk about it after that. And we had to leave because we were meeting my mom and my sister. And that was it. And everyone said goodbye. We said goodbye to the people we were staying with and got in my truck and went to a Chinese restaurant to meet my mom and sister before we actually left the state. And during the 3 weeks, I told my mom, I'm going to ask Asha to marry me on vacation. This is my plan. She said, oh, thanks so much for telling me. And she was kind of excited about it. But a few days went by and I still didn't ask. And my mom kind of whispered to me, did you ask her yet? And I said, no, quiet. And the last day of our vacation, my mom and my sister and Asha and I went to a Chinese restaurant. And it was the last day and I did not want to leave New Hampshire. I didn't want to leave the state without us being engaged. So I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, you know that secret I told you? And Asha didn't know what was going on. And I said, Mom, what is that secret? Go ahead and say it. And she looked at me and she goes, are you sure? And I said, yes, I'm sure. And then she goes, okay. And she was excited. She said, Paul said that during this vacation, he was going to ask you to marry him. And so he told me you were going to say that and I was supposed to keep it a secret. And I looked at Asha and I said, see, I told you I was going to ask you, you know, when I said maybe my plan was to ask you all along. So what do you think? And she said, huh, what? Wait a minute. Are you asking me now? And I said, yes. Will you? Will you marry me? And she said, yes, of course. And then she got a little teary eyed and I'm a little teary eyed thinking about it right now because it's so special, and it was just so nice that my mom and sister were there to be a part of it, and my mom was kind of the person who asked her, so that was neat, and we hugged and we kissed, and she was having trouble trying to figure out what was going on, because it was just an unusual way to ask, and she got a little teary again, and she kissed me again and she was happy. And she said, I can't believe this is like, what? I can't believe you're doing this now. And I said, I wanted to do it before we left, but I just never had a chance because, you know, somebody kept saying you should get married. You should get married. And I wanted it to be my idea. And I wanted to let you know that I wasn't like convinced to do it. This is my plan all along. And she loved it. It was just a wonderful, wonderful moment. And it was in like a cheap, medium Chinese restaurant. So it wasn't like a very special place, but with very special people. It was with very special people. My mom and sister are so special to me. And to include them in this wonderful moment, and Asha said the same thing. She said, it was so special. It was so sweet. And I loved it. And it didn't matter. You know, she didn't say this. It doesn't matter where. I really wanted to ask her someplace special. This wasn't special. But if you go to my Facebook, you can see I said that she said yes. And the people that listen to this show, some of them commented, and I'm so grateful. Thank you for your support, your kind words, your love, and everything that you said. And if you look at that picture on my Facebook page, you know, Paul Coliani, you'll find me. You can see that there is a statue peering out from behind us, and it's a dragon statue in front of the Chinese restaurant, and it looks like it's angry or mean. And Asha and I said, that's so perfect. There's just something about it that was perfect. We had the statue behind us peering over our shoulder, and we're happy in the front. So there's a picture of Asha and I in there if you want to take a look at that. But now we're engaged. What's next, Paul? Next is marriage somewhere. We haven't talked about it yet. What it looks like, what it's going to be. And at the end, as we're driving away, I said, you know, I just realized something. And she said, what? I just realized I asked you on summer solstice. I asked you on the very first day of summer, and she goes, oh my God, thank you so much. She was so happy. She was so excited. I didn't plan it. It just happened. And I told her I was waiting for the nudge. I was waiting for the perfect moment. I was waiting, for a sign, something. I was waiting for the universe, God, whatever, trying to nudge me in the direction in that moment. And it happened in that moment, and it was so perfect. So thanks for allowing me to share that with you. I'm so grateful you are a part of my life in some way, at least as a listener, a friend, one who maybe likes me, one who supports me. All of you, I appreciate you, and I am grateful for you. Thanks again. Always keep an open mind and step into your power. This will help you be firm in your decisions and actions so that you can create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and this is something I absolutely know to be true about you, you are amazing.